And while you're turning there, I'm going to do a little pre-reading. Verse 19 is where I'll pick up. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, we see the word of God. Those of us in this room, we have been attentive listeners and students of the word of God. We can say that we've received it. We can say that we're comfortable with it. We can even say that we've got a good working knowledge of it. But are we doers? Are we doers? You see, God did not give you His Word. He did not preserve this book for centuries. He did not inspire those writers. He did not make sure you got a copy of it just so you could feel smart. Oh, it is good to know Scripture. It is good to be that person with a biblical answer for everything. But if you are not a doer of the word, as much as you are a hearer, you are missing the point entirely. We become that person with so much stored up, but no actual use. Some wives are looking over at their husbands right now. That shed you've got, you collect all those nuts and all those bolts. When do you ever use them? Right? All that wood you keep in the back shed, right? We hang on to bits of Scripture and we hang on to truth. But if we are not doers of it, I would not say that it is a waste because there is value in knowledge. But if we do not use it, we are at a disadvantage. If we do not use it, we are in disobedience. I often preach on the necessity of Scripture. It is within these pages we see everything that God has to say to us. Words of love, encouragement, salvation, and even expectations. We see both what we are and what we can be. And I think it's a wonderful thing to be able to grow and to change into a better person and a stronger Christian. But He not only accepts us as we are, but leads us to betterment and makes the process easy. But some folks, they are fighting that process. They don't want to become better Christians. They are comfortable being adequate Christians. They're comfortable giving not their best, but giving what is comfortable. Right? I'll obey when I feel like it, but there's going to be a handful of sins that I keep to myself. Hey, there's going to be some things I will make sure everybody sees me doing in the service of the Lord, but don't ask me to go there. Don't ask me to do that. That is not being a doer of the word. That is being only a hearer. When we look into the mirror of the word, and that's the illustration that James gives, it's like somebody who looks in the mirror. You ever look in the mirror? If you're like me, every year you look in the mirror and you get just slightly more disappointed. And folks, I didn't start off with much to begin with. Some of you are like, wow, I've really gone downhill. And I'm like, well, it's a gentle slope for me. I don't know what's going on with you. Almost a lateral move, to be honest with you. It's just getting grayer. But no, we look at that. We say, okay, listen, I got to trim this. I've got to clean that. My poor little girl, she doesn't eat spaghetti, she wears it. You ever clean spaghetti sauce out of the inside of a child's ear? It is an experience. But you look in the mirror and you go, oh, okay, there's this on my face. Let me get the soap, let me get the water, let me wash it off. But many of us, when it comes down to looking into the Word of God, it's like looking into a mirror. Okay, I clearly see that I should not be doing this. I clearly see that I've got the wrong attitude. The Bible is very honest about where I am. And I can see where I am when I look at the Word. But so often we walk away from it and we go, okay, these are the challenges I have. Good enough. And we go through the day and we still have all that spaghetti sauce on our face. We go about our day and we still have that nose hair calling out and we still have that issues going out. We're just walking around. We didn't fix anything. Many of us, we've been to church services. We've heard preaching. We've fallen under conviction in our daily reading. And we've sat there. We said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to do something about this. And then we go about our day completely forgetting what we saw in the mirror. Completely forgetting about it. And that can not only embarrass us, but it brings reproach upon our God because we're one of His. Oh, how embarrassing. When I was a kid, I'd come to church, and you know this about me. I came to church on a van, and oftentimes the church clothes I had were donated by other men. So when I wore them, they would always come over. All right, let me fix your collar. Charlie still does this to me. Let me fix your collar. Let me fix this. Do that up. All right, get this right here. You really ought to have ironed that before you put it on, you know? And they just, they fix me up. Now my kids will come in, and they'll come down. Hey, Dad, we're here, because I always leave early on a Sunday morning. Hey, Dad, we're here. All right, come over here. All right, fix this, tuck that in, wipe that off. How'd you get this much food behind your ear? You know, and we go through the stuff, because that's my son. I take care of you. You know, when we walk around with our sins and our disobediences, the Lord sees it. And He sees us walking around using His name, referring to His church, talking about how you stand for this and how you believe that and how you don't think other people are doing right. And there you are, bold as brass, with all that sin on your face, having completely forgotten what manner of a person you are. Listen, if I've got flaws, praise God, I can fix them. George Johnson sang that song, Lord, I want to thank you for looking on the inward man. And he starts talking about how you look in that mirror and one big ugly face looking back at me. There ain't nothing I can do about this. But if I've got spiritual flaws, you know how fast that is to fix? I praise the Lord for that. Because if I was as stuck spiritually as I am physically, there'd be no hope for me. But that ain't who God is. I have the ability to fix the things I see in the mirror of the Word of God. And not just the ability, but I have the command to do it. Which is awesome because if God commands you to do it, you know He's going to enable you to do it. You've got the ability. You've got the command. You've got everything at the Father's disposal to fix those spiritual flaws. So what a mockery we make when we sit there and act as though, well, I am what I am and there's nothing I can do about it. There is so much we can do. Well, I guess I just don't believe in myself. You don't have to. You got to believe in the Lord. If I put my faith and trust in Him, it doesn't matter what my failures are. It doesn't matter. Because I'm relying on Him. I am doing things His way. And you better believe it's going to get done. Through the Word of Scripture, we see. I can see my failures. You ever conquer a sin? Lord gives you victory over a sin. And you're reading through Scripture and you see that sin talked about. Doesn't that feel a certain way? Number one, you're like, I am so glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. And then you'll sit there and you look at that and you go, but I know that thing wants to come back. I know that within me there's something that desires that again. I know my failures. I'll hear preachers preach on things. Oh yeah, when I was a kid, man, that's exactly what we would do. Oh yeah, back before the Lord saved me, or early on when the Lord saved me, that's exactly what I did. I know what I've done. Bible says that God has the ability to forget our sins. He knows every drop of sweat I'm sweating right now, but He can't remember the things He forgave me for. That's powerful, isn't it? I don't get that power. I remember them. And they sit heavy. Now here's the thing. When the Lord saves you, you ought not sit there and wallow in shame. He forgave you. That debt is paid. Stop worrying on it. That's a trick of the devil. But we can't fight the fact that we know what we have done. And it's a good thing we know. Because if I know not to step there anymore, it's at least worth the fact that I stepped there in the first place. Remember that time I stepped there? Yeah, what an idiot. No, but now I know. Don't step there. I could have listened to my pastor. I could have listened to my mom and dad. I could have listened to those people at my church, my Sunday school teacher. But I didn't. I stepped there. Now I can tell everybody, show them the marks, what happens when you do that. I've known a few people, heard a testimony just recently. I didn't listen to my pastor. I didn't listen to God. I even read it in the Bible. I knew it was wrong, and I went out and did it, and it ruined my life. We know now. Don't. I know what my failures are. The Word of God spells them out. I know what I have done, and I even know what my flaws are. Those parts of me that are tempted by certain sins, as the Bible describes it to me, Bible calls me a sinner. I ain't got to work too hard to prove that. How about you? How hard did you have to work to prove that the Bible was right, that you are a sinner? Brother, I didn't have to work at all. It says that I'm a sinner. I looked at what God expected of me. I knew what I was. There's a lot of people, I wish I could stop doing that, but for some reason I just can't. That's your sin nature, my friend. Ain't nothing different about you. There ain't nothing extra special about you. That's your sin nature. Well, I've just got this driving impulse that makes me want to. That is your sin nature. The Bible says crucify the flesh. You got to tell yourself no. And sometimes telling yourself no can be just as bad as telling a toddler no. You get all frustrated. You get all anxious. Well, how am I ever supposed to be happy again if I can't do this? You'll be all right. You'll be fine. Oh my, what a powerful thing we've got nowadays. If you don't agree with me, I might kill myself. So you gotta agree with me, and Pepsi's gotta sell my lifestyle. If you've got that kind of problem, we need to have you looked at. You need to pump the brakes on what you're doing. You need to pump the brakes on what you're doing. Because your issues run deeper. I know what my flaws are. I know what my weaknesses are. If I could build a profile on me, what I thought about myself, and you took my biggest critic, I don't know if I've got one, but if I've got one, you take my biggest critic, and we were to write down what we think is wrong with me, guaranteed I got a better picture. Guaranteed I'm far more critical, and I bet you'd be the same, right? You know what's wrong with you. If you know the Bible, you know what's wrong with you. You know what ain't quite right. You got a bit of a temper. Maybe you're too shy when it comes down to the service of the Lord. Whatever you got, you know what it is. Because the Bible spells it out. We know what it is. Now some will take that opportunity to be all self-defeating and cry about it. Oh, I guess that must mean horrible things about me. No, you're a sinner. God has a plan. Don't worry. God has a plan. My uncle, he used to have a dune buggy. We'd go tearing around that dune buggy. We got it stuck in the mud. And I go, oh, Uncle Darren, I'm so sorry. I got your dune buggy stuck in the mud. He sat there, he laughed. He grabbed a hook on the front of that dune buggy, wrapped it around a tree, clipped it. I was miserable. I was embarrassed. I was upset. He was laughing. He pushed that little button, pulled it up out of the mud. I go, wow, what's that there for? He goes, exactly what you did. Well, you know, I feel bad that this is my temptation. I feel bad that this is what I struggle with. I feel bad that I still ain't thinking. Hey, that's what grace is for. That's what grace is for. That's what the word justified means. Don't sit there and beat yourself up, because you know what that'll do? You'll beat yourself up so hard you can't move forward. You can't serve the Lord. Right? As Brother Mark put it, you can't press. You can't press. Can't press toward anything if you're all self-beat up. You need to stand up and say, all right, that happened. But praise God. Thank the Lord that something different has taken place. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Something you'll learn about James. James has a lot of corollaries between what he says and direct teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, if you're gonna have some mashup there, if you're gonna be quoting somebody, Jesus is who exactly you want to be quoting. But 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. You know this story, don't you? He built his house upon a rock. Somebody else built it right there on the ground. The rains came, beat upon the house, and collapsed. We got to be doers as well as hearers. Because there's going to be a lot of people. Well, I grew up in church. Well, I have a very religious background. My daddy was a minister. You know, I wouldn't say that I'm a Christian. I'm maybe not religious, but I'm very spiritual. You ever hear that one? You ever ask them to explain themselves? That is a treat. You should do that the next time. What's the difference between religion and spiritual? Well, it's almost like they're doing that scat singing that they used to do in blues and really and blues and jazz. Just don't make no sense to them. There's going to be a lot of people. Lord, oh no, you don't understand. I was a Catholic priest for X amount of years. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. Depart from me. You never got it. You sat on that book. And you hid the teachings of it, never understanding what I said to you. You quoted and you preached heresy in front of the book that would have fixed your heresy. You did wrong. Oh, you don't understand. My dad, we grew up in a very religious family. But you never came. You never repented. Your name was not written down. Depart from me. There's going to be a lot of people who hear, and they never, never do. And there's going to be some who will sit there, and they will hear, and they will do. And they'll build their house upon a firm foundation. And they will build their lives upon the foundation that is Christ. And they will make biblical decisions. They will pause and seek scriptural wisdom before they do things. And they will abide by that book. And when the troubles come, what will happen? That house will stay. That house will stay. Not because of their might, not because of their strength, not because, oh, aren't they clever, but because they did the right thing. And I yell that because I'm tired of this current generation that says there's no such thing as a right thing. Oh, there's right for you and there's right for me. Uh-uh. I don't trust what I think is right. How many times has that messed you up? I'll drive somewhere. You know what? I think this is the way I should go. Uh-uh. Now, was that wrong? Does that mean there's something bad wrong with me? Am I not as clever as other people? No, you weren't born with a map in your head. Well, inside of you are all the answers. I was told that by a teacher one time. Inside each and every one of us are the answers we need for our lives. I go, uh-oh. Mr. Rowland? Yeah, where did you guys stop to get that? Because I missed. Was that like a day you had in school? Somebody came in and it was an injection? Somebody just opened your head up and drop? Because I have to learn everything I know. I don't have that. And can't we just optimize that to where we could skip the whole school experience? Okay, I get what you're saying, but that's not funny. That doesn't make any sense, does it? You grow up knowing. Inside you. Do I grow it? What year do I grow all the answers to? Basically what we're saying is if you want to do it, it's right. Let's go knock on some prison cell doors. You thought that guy deserved to die and you killed him. That must be right. Come on out. You sold heroin for years to kids. Well, you thought it was the right thing to do. You needed to feed your belly. Come on out. You're just an entrepreneur. That's insanity, isn't it? It's insanity. I see what I am. You can't feed me that I've got all the answers in me without having to learn them. How insane. Why do you think it is that kids more and more look at the wisdom of their parents and reject it? Well, you have it inside you. So your parents, when they disagree with you, they're morons. They don't understand. They were never teenagers like you. They were never smart like you. See, that's the problem. When I was 18, I was smarter than all of you. I was. Oh, when I was 18, I was the height of intellectual maturity. I had all the wisdom. Took me about 2-3 years to realize I was the dumbest man on the planet. And I've worked all this time trying to get back to what I had. I thought I knew everything, man. And how long does it take you to realize you don't know anything? That was around the time, you know, one of my favorite teachers on earth, Jim Gill, he was the one who pressed that into me so hard. He goes, what you need to do is stop talking and listen. Okay. No, listen. We would sit there, we would go through Sunday school, and I'd want to talk with him. No, shh, just listen. Because I've had this book for a long time. I've lived this book for a long time. You just listen. Trust me. And I did. That man gave me one of the most valuable pieces of advice anyone could give another. Listen. Listen to what? The Word of God. Because there's a billion voices out there all shouting. They all want to tell you about their lifestyle. They all want to tell you about this new alternative way of thinking. By the way, it ain't new. It ain't alternative. God flooded the planet for it once. You understand? It has been collapsing societies ever since there's been societies to collapse. Right? It ain't new. You're practicing a failed thing. Listen to the Word of God. Because I'll tell you what I need. The Word of God tells me what I need. I need correction. I do. Well, you must think very little of yourself. Oh, no. Because here's the thing. As I'm correcting things, now I'm correct. See how that works? It's not correct because I agree with it. It corrected me. Well, that's just what you think. Oh, no. That corrected me. I had this big problem. Applied the Word of God to it. Problem went away. It ain't magic. Right? It's not. It is very simple wisdom. Very simple wisdom. I had a problem. The Word of God told me what to do about it. I corrected it. And I'll tell you this, no matter how many times the Bible corrects me, I could still stand for a little bit more. That's called growth. Growth is good, by the way. I'll be very clear. If I make it to 130 years old, I still want the Bible to be teaching me something. How boring life will become if we are still not learning. Now, I'm not saying I want to be such a big mess that it takes that long. I want to be refined over and over and over. Too often in modern day Christianity, that's what they say. Come as you are. And almost in the same breath, they say, stay as you are. Oh, no. Lord made a big change in me. And I'm welcome to those changes, no matter how painful the refining pot may be. And I need more than correction. Don't we all need not just correction, but we need direction in our lives. Lord, what is it that I should be doing? There's a lot of people who sit there and they go, well, what's the purpose of my life? I'm glad I got one, aren't you? Mine is to serve the Lord. That's it. As a church member, I've got the Great Commission. That's my job. I've got a purpose. I've got goals. Well, but if you follow the Great Commission, you're never done. I know. Isn't that wonderful? How many people you get done and what happens? If you're like me, you get done with a goal and you go, okay, well now what? And you get real bored. You can ask Sister Danielle, what happens when Matt gets done with one thing? He gets real bored until he finds himself something else to chew on. Right? Something else to occupy that mind. I got that Great Commission. I'll be working on that for the rest of my life. And a lot of that work's going to be done right here. Boldness. Honesty, clarity of speech. how I work out things, how I apply the Word of God. I tell you what, I love doing the Great Commission. I love having a purpose. I love direction. Hey, stop doing that. This is the goal, right? We press toward the mark. There's a mark for me to press towards. You know what else I need? Something God gives us in spades, and that's compassion. Because not every bit of correction is going to come easy for me. Right? We're sitting there, I'm working with Melody, and I'll say, now, sweet pea, we don't do this. She'll look over at me, she goes, no! I go, that's right, no. That's right, no. We don't do that. She came over, she had a little plastic thing in her hand. She swatted me with it. No! She looked over at me, she goes, no! And I go, yes, no! I don't think we were having the same conversation. It's a very Baptist conversation to have. Where it says, you shouldn't do that. We go, no! Does the Word of God move? Nope. Does God change His mind because He finds out His child's upset about it? Nope. But there's going to be moments where I need that compassion. And sometimes I'm going to need a little bit more aggressive persuasion. And shame on me for needing it. Shame on you for needing it. But I'm going to need some compassion. Lord, don't give up on me. Lord, be as firm as you need to be. Lord, be as forgiving as you need to be. But don't give up on me. Don't surrender on me. Don't put me on a shelf. When we look at that mirror, we also see what Christ has done. Ephesians 1 verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We trusted in Him. He did everything for us. You know what He did? He lived a sinless life. And you know what I can do? I can look at that and you say, you know what? I know He was God. I know He could pull it off. But I tell you what, if He could do a whole lifetime as God, maybe me as a mere mortal can go the rest of my life. That's a long time, brother. Yeah, but you know what? Do I have to sin? No, a whole lot of people in my life would prefer I didn't. No, God wouldn't. Do I have to? Well, no. He lived a sinless life. Why did He have to live a sinless life? So He could be that spotless lamb up on the altar and die and take on the sins of man. Because that was it. That was the law. You die in sin, you go to hell. That's it. You're a sinner. It's exactly what needed to happen. But He died sinless. You understand? Lived that sinless, perfect life. Paid the penalty. Why? He lived a sinless life. He paid the penalty for my life that was filled with sin. That's what He did. Long before I committed those sins, long before I was even thought of, this continent wasn't even a rumor. The continent I live on wasn't even a rumor when He died for my sins. But He did it. He did it. That's what I see when I look at Scripture. I see not just the man that I am, I see the blood of Christ upon my life. What I could have been were it not for Him. The change that was made. He made me not just a better version of what I was, but He made me a brand new creature. Able to do things I couldn't before. That song that we sang, that middle one, "The Longer I Serve Him." I used to sing that song to Caspian when he'd get fussy as a baby. Used to sing that song. Now many of you know, you gotta understand what Caspian meant to me. We weren't supposed to have one. So when we had two, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Now to me in that song, there is a discrepancy. It says in that song, though the way it's written in our songbook, the more that I love Him, more love He bestows. But that's not true. Because He loves with a perfect love. So I like the way some of the gospel music singers sing it, more joy he bestows. Because God loves with that perfect agape love. He ain't going to increase. What happened? Did he learn something? Did I up in value? No, none of those things happen. He loves with a perfect love. He loves me that way. And what happens? The more that I serve him, the more that I go after him, more joy I have. So I'd sing that to a fussy little Caspian as he was, you know, in the car seat, throwing a fit, not happy. He never liked to sit still. He used to sing that song because I meant it. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Not because he changes, but because my understanding of him deepens. The walk that I have with him goes longer, and there's more experience, and I get to know him better, and I see just how sweet he is. As this verse says, you know, as we go on, we must be aware. We must be aware of that man that we saw in the mirror. Must be aware of that person that we saw. All right, now listen, I know this is where I struggle. I know this is where I fail. So as I go through the day, I've got to be aware of that. You ever take a picture with somebody, and if you're this person, don't be offended, but I don't understand you. You ever take a picture with somebody that said, hold on, I got to be on this side, this is my good side. Now, you could, if you're that person, you can take this as a compliment. I don't know what it's like to have a good side, so I've never been able to, you know. Lord gave me a quality in my sides. Not any quality, but a quality, equality in my sides. Now, this is my good side. How do they know that? They must have been looking in the mirror and go, hey, this one looks better than this one. Right? They must have done that. So as they walk around the world, they remember, got to get it from this side, because if I get that side, they'll see my nose. Or whatever have you. I don't know. Ugly people, we don't understand these things. But what I do get is seeing something about me in Scripture and walking out there knowing it's there. I don't travel a lot, but if I was ever down in Africa and I was walking out in the plains or I was walking out in the high grass, you know what I would know to be careful for? The animals that are inside the high grass. Why? Because that's how they get you. They can see you. I can't see them. Why? They're hiding in the high grass. As I walk through this world, the devil's got things all over. He walketh to and fro, seeketh whom may devour. Right? There's traps out there. There's tricks out there. That's why the Lord said, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Right? I don't think he's talking about mutilation. He's talking about if there's things in your life that bring offense into it, that bring temptations, that bring trouble into it, get it out. And if I know what's bugging me, if I know what's dragging me down, I get it out. If I know that there's some high grass over there and there may be a poisonous snake or a leopard or something in there to get me, I wouldn't walk into it. But many folks, we get a little too close to the bar. You had a drinking problem, Lord saved you out of it, and now you're sitting over there at the bar of some restaurant because they got the best burgers in town. You need to be real careful. If that stuff tempts you, you shouldn't be anywhere near it, nor allow it anywhere near you. Right? Hey, if that television, if that computer, if that telephone creates in you an impulse, an ungodly impulse, you need to cut it out. That's it. Oh, but what will I do? I don't know. What did we do before restaurants with bars and computers? You know, I was teasing brother. Well, I wasn't teasing Brother Mark. I'm kind of envious of Brother Mark. Brother Mark went to a flip phone. Charlie, don't be mad. Went to a flip phone. What did you do before you could check Facebook, your email, while listening to music and running your Bible app in the background? Well, how did we used to live without those things? You did. And you know what? It was probably delightful. But I was just part of that generation. We had those old green screen cell phones when I was in high school and going through college. You know, smartphones didn't come out till later. I remember what it was like to have to use a book. I still like using books better than I do the equipment. I do, I'll tell you. You know, I've got all banner of fancy things on that computer back there, but I will still swivel around and grab a book off the shelf. It's just me. It's just me. If you know you've got problems with something, You hack that right out of your life. You get rid of it. Don't forget what you are. Don't forget what you see. I was ordering clothes recently, and I was trying to guess some sizes of things and came down to my size. Well, I look in the mirror, and you know what? Would you believe, Brother Tim, I'm not a large. Now, I am large, so I should be. No. You can't forget what you see in the mirror, can you? That's it. I'm not that. Well, sir, are you a small? No. Not even my mouth is small, I'll tell you that. We know what we are. We must make changes to our day-to-day actions based on knowing what is there, based on knowing what could be there. Some of us, well, I've never been tempted by that before. I can get close to it. Don't forget your flesh. Just because it ain't tempted you yet doesn't mean it can't. You are flesh. You are still a sinner. And let me tell you, the devil's had a lot of time to work on this. He's had a lot of practice. He can get you without you knowing he's got you. Nowadays, with all this sedation that we've got out there, both technological and legalizing marijuana and alcohol that we got and tobacco and playing around with these relationships and just staring into screens for days on end, I'll tell you what, we got sedation down. Most folks don't know they're sedated. Most folks don't know they're on a leash. But they are. Well, if the devil ever comes around here, I'll know. He's already got you. Well, hey, why don't you come on out? We're doing a Friday morning Bible study. Brother, that's when my soaps are on. Do they still have those? I'm looking over at Brother Tim like he'd know. Sorry, brother, I didn't mean to apply. Oh, no, I can't, you know, but you get up. And you sit there on Facebook, you sit there on the internet, and you scroll. Oh, did you see what so-and-so's doing? Oh, did you hear about the catastrophe over? Oh, and then we sit there and we worry about things like we can do anything about it. Ain't nothing I can do about that. Oh, you know, hey, Matt, did you hear that your cousin got a divorce and they got into a fist fight in the front of the yard and now they're going to be on Maury Povich? We used to say Jerry Springer, but he's gone. My family was together sitting at a meal for the first time in over a decade when we found out Jerry Springer died. I'll let you say that. I'll let you say what that means. Yeah, I'll let you decide what that means. But what do? We sit there. Hey, this happened in your family. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can sit there and, oh, no, for a week, and that ain't going to do nothing. All you're doing is sedating yourself, distracting yourself, bothering yourself. Now, you want to pick up that phone, you want to apply some sound godly wisdom, you go for it. But you sitting there playing it over in your mind like it's your brand new toy, that ain't going to do nothing for you. It's going to hurt you. I got to remember what kind of a man I am. I got to remember what my temptations are. We got to put things into place to make sure we do the right thing. We got to get the Word of God inside of us. We got to memorize some Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Now that ain't hard to understand, is it? I hide the Word of God in my heart, so that I might not sin against Him. Ain't no guarantee you memorize the entire book of Acts that you're not going to sin. But it's going to help you, because now you know. You memorize vast chapters of Scripture, you're going to know that's wrong. That's going to give the Holy Spirit something to work with in your mind when it troubles you. You need it. The Holy Spirit, speaking to Him, needs to be a close friend. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A lot of people are sensitive to a lot of things. I'll tell you this, if you're going to be worth anything, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I've known some people who are sensitive to jokes. I know some people who are sensitive to political opinion. But I tell you what, you are frail if you're sensitive to those things. That offends me. Oh. Well, I tell you what, here's a tissue. I brought some Play-Doh. I have a seat. I had a relative tell me, "You're saying that you disagree with me is verbal violence. You're being violent against me." I go, "No, back when you used to throw sticks at me and we were pushing each other off of sand dunes, that was violence. And he didn't have a problem with that. I disagreed with you. You poor sad thing. Here's a puppy. You go sit over there. I'll let you know when the juice boxes come. Well, that doesn't sound very nice and compassionate. We got a problem here. We're sensitive to the wrong things. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit. John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, whatsoever I have said unto you, word of God in my heart, and he brings me to remembrance of those things. You following? That's how that works. If I want to remember, if I want to do something about this character I see in the mirror, I need the Word of God in my heart. I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit moving me to the right things. And I've got to guard my path. Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. There's too many people experimenting with philosophy. Oh, we're trying something new. That ain't new. You know how many people died doing that? Well, we're experimenting with drugs. I think mankind has had enough experimentation. We know. Let's go down to the prisons. Let's go over here to the rundown areas. The people that are over there selling whatever they can get their hands on so they can get their fix. Let's go talk to them about where that experimentation leads. What about these new alternate lifestyles? Oh, they're new. They're not new. We've done them before. All of society collapsed. Right? Look up the Romans. Look what the Romans were doing. Right? Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, How Should We Then Live? And it goes through the effects of humanistic living on a society. And it talks about its foundation. It talks about its art. He talks about their politics, and then he talks about the long-term effects that that sort of alternate lifestyle has. And he sits there, and it's well documented. It's a great book. If you're not a reader, go ahead and look up the documentary. He did that. Guy's funny looking, though. He wears his socks on the outside of his pant leg. But forget about that. We're going to try new things. No, I'm going to try some established paths. I'm going to go by what I know works. I come across somebody. Hey, what? You're doing something here. Explain to me what you're doing with your parenting here. I did that recently. Explain to me what you're doing with your parenting. You know what they did? They pulled out some verses. Well, brother, I saw these and kind of worked it into this, and now this is what we do. And that's worked well? Oh, yeah, this has happened and that's happened. Well, that's a well-established way. It's lit by the Word of God. Well, I'll give her a shot. Those preachers of old, I'm still trying to work my way through all those tapes back there. You know, you listen to some of the preachers I got back there on that wall. You know what? They're right. They preached on things. They warned about things. Hey, if we don't start doing this, this is going to happen. And I almost shudder to have to look them in the eye and say, hey, brother, I was listening to you say that. After it happened, those established paths. You know why they're so good? Because they're established. God set them. Do this. Don't do that. They're solid. We don't need to play with them. We don't need something different. We need what works. We've got kids being raised in broken homes. We've got a foster care problem in this country that is worse than it has ever been. We don't need alterations. We need establishment. Oh, and not government establishment. No, no. We need establishment in the home. Right? Well, you know, we need to have choices. No, you need to make one choice really well. Right? Well, I'm not ready to be a mommy. Well, you were ready for mommy things. The other man out there, well, I can't be tied down. All right, no woman's going to tie me down. I don't know. It kind of sounds like you tied yourself down there. And it sounds like you made a decision, right? Well, you understand what you're trying. No, I am. You make a decision. Well, what about when they can't make the decision? What about when it's an attack? Hey, listen, let's go ahead and try to make a decision based off of 1%. I think it's 2% or something like that was the current. And that ain't a Christian poll. That is what you look that up. It's like 2 or 3%. If I'm wrong, you can correct me, but it's low. It's low. 95 to 98% of the abortions that take place in this country are abortions out of convenience. When you already made a decision. You already made it. Well, you're just trying to make a decision for me. No, you made it. We need to go back to some establishment. We've got people in prisons. As a matter of fact, I talk about people in prisons. We got people coming out of prison shouldn't be out of prison. Are they still looking for that guy in Utah down there? That, oops, we let him out, but we completely forgot that he was a violent offender and he had all these years left on him? Oops! What's going on? Overcrowding. So we got to decriminalize drug use. We got to decriminalize shoplifting. We got problems! And it seems the more alternative we get, the more problems we have. Brother Dennis was talking on Friday about how Canada is one of the most liberal-minded places. Canada's on fire. Well, you can't do that. Well, let's look at another really liberal place that we know. Is that always on fire? It seems to always be on fire. Do they have large problems? Yes, they do. Let's go to Los Angeles. Anybody want to go to Los Angeles? I wouldn't go. I told you all last week, the idea of going over to a foreign country and eating a live fish, that bugs me. Eating a raw fish in this country bugs me. I'll eat a whole raw fish, one of the ones that Dennis catches. I'll eat a whole one of those before I'll go over to L.A. right now. Oh, but they're so imaginative. They're so forward-thinking. Listen, if you're moving forward and that's where you are, I don't want to go there. Maybe you need to start backing up. Because you've got people dying in heat waves. I would back up. Oh, you're talking about restriction. No, I'm talking about going back to an established path. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Again, it is not right because my church agrees with it. It is not right because my pastor preached it. It is not right because I feel that it is right. It is right because the word of God declares it to be so. And then what I must be is I must become the reflection myself. The reflection of what? At all times, I should reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. No ifs, ands, or buts. Going back to our text here, James chapter 1, verse 25. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," and "continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We got to do the right thing. People want to be blessed. They want things. They want to see that their work is doing something. Well, that's not going to happen of your own volition. That's not going to happen just because you want it to be so. We must in all things reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be about His business. Listen, if I go and I follow the strongest the strongest financial guru on earth, and I follow his advice to a T, I might make some money. I might. Hey, if I go and I apply myself to all manner of education and, I apply myself and I write the next great American novel, well, I might get there. And people might buy that book. They might not. If I go out with a heart that desires to please God and I do it his way, you're guaranteed to nail it. Guaranteed. If I do things his way, that's the caveat. If I do things his way, guaranteed. Brother, shouldn't we see hundreds walking down the aisles coming and accept the Lord Jesus Christ? He never promised that. Is that what he said? You look. Is that what he said? Is that God's definition of success? No, God's definition of success is when I stand in front of him and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I got to do the work. right? Many of you, you've put your gardens in already. You're already starting to see some growth, right? We're seeing some growth and we're very excited. Hey, look at that. That's growing there and we already see how that's going to go. You're looking back there going, okay, well, this is good, but this not so much. We can't even get out of the ground the things we expect. But if I stand and I do the Lord's will His way, every time. Every time. Maybe not the way we think it should be successful, but every time. We need to abide in the Word of God and be a reflection of who He is. How can I be a reflection? Well, number one, I remember who I am. And I tell people about it. Well, you must think I'm going to hell then. You know what? There was a time in my life when I was going to hell and I didn't even commit your sin. So if you think that this is about what you're doing versus what I don't like, you're wrong. Let me tell you, there was a time when God looked down at me and everything I did was against what He was doing. Everything that He said, I fit exactly into the description of what you would call not a bad guy. I was a kid. I was in school. I got decent grades. I didn't mouth off to my mom too much. I was a little chaotic, but in a funny way. I wasn't pushing things over. I wasn't getting in trouble in school. I wasn't getting in trouble with the law. I was all right. But you know what I was? I was a sinner bound for an eternity in hell. So you know what? I know what I am. Well, you're very judgmental. I'm not judgmental. I know the mirror. Come look at the mirror. Amen. See my flaws? The Lord helped me with these. You see yours? He could save you from the penalty of those. What you need to do is stop fighting it. Stop pretending. You ever remember the Fonz? You probably remember the Fonz. That thing he used to do, he'd look in the mirror, take out his comb. Now listen, Henry Winkler's a fun guy. But that guy was pushing 38 or something like that, trying to play a young 20-something. He did not look like he should have been going. Some people, they've got that ability. They look in that mirror, they see their sin, the debauchery, the things that God tells them to lay aside, the things that God will one day judge. They look at it and they go, I fit right in. Look at me. But there's going to come a time when we stand before judgment. For the child of God, it'll be based on all the things that we have done and whether or not it'll pass the test to earn a reward. But for many, depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me. And there will no longer be a mirror, just a book. And there will no longer be an opportunity to grab the comb or the washcloth or the ear trimmer, ear hair trimmers. No opportunities. It is best for us to get these things right now and to preach Christ, to be a reflection of Him in love, compassion, but yes, in the truth. Because you drop the truth, that's cheap grace, that ain't right. I tell the truth. Sin equals an eternity in hell. You're a sinner, I'm a sinner. Let me show you. Let me show you the change He made in me. And maybe you'll want that too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't deserve the work of Your mighty hand, but Father, You apply it. Lord, You're so good to us, and we praise You. We praise You for Your kindness, Lord, Your gentleness, Your forgiveness. And Lord, not just that You would save us the way that we are, but Lord, You would continue to apply Your word, Your direction, Your chastisement upon us, that we may continue to improve. So that, Father, we need not have shame. We need not have the side effects of sin, nor, Lord, should we have sin to present to You. The Lord, when You look down at us, You'd see sin in our lives. Lord, we ought to want to live a clean life, and You help us to do it. Help us, Lord, never to flee from You, never to fall away, but, Lord, to cling to Your word, making our lives better every step of the way. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.